So this morning we are concluding our series on the Christmas Film Festival. And today we're going to look at, for just a moment, not even look at, talk about the movie Elf. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Elf. Came out in 2003. Seems hard to believe that it's 14 years old, but it is. And it stars Will Ferrell as Buddy the Elf. Actually, he's not an elf. He was in an orphanage as a baby, and because of the brand of diaper that he was brought in on, they named him Buddy. But he ends up going to the North Pole in Santa's sack on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and ends up being raised by elves. He works, and not very well, because he's not naturally an elf. So he decides, he's told by Papa Elf, that he really wasn't born an elf. He actually was born a human, and that his dad is on the naughty list, which causes Buddy to just be so sad. And so he decides he's going to travel to New York to find his dad and get his dad back on the good list. And so he decides that he's going to pass through the seven levels of the candy cane forest, through the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops, and then walk through the Lincoln Tunnel to find his dad and save Christmas. And that's exactly what he does. I don't want to give away the movie, but Christmas is saved. I will tell you that. At a pivotal point in the movie, when the fate of Santa Claus and Christmas is in jeopardy, Buddy has a motto that is repeated by his stepmother, his girlfriend, a couple of other people, which is, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear." The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And so they sing, and Christmas spirit is increased. It's a 14-year-old movie, so I don't think I'm giving away anything that Christmas is saved. But this line, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear." When I decided to lay out what we were going to be focusing on as relates to these films, I thought immediately of Simeon. Simeon is in the temple when Jesus is presented. Now, oftentimes, because of the way that Luke records this, oftentimes we think that the presentation of Jesus is 8 days after he is born. If you look at verse 21, Luke 2, 21. "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name of the angel given them before he had been conceived, when the time came for purification." We tend to think, okay, 8 days later, he was circumcised and presented before the temple. But that's not really what happened. If you were to look in Leviticus about the presentation of the firstborn, you would find out through a long system of rules and regulations that the mom was, for reasons I'm not going to get into, but any adult can understand, that the mom was not allowed to go in public for 31 days. 30 days, sorry. Was not allowed to go into public for 30 days after the baby was born. So, initially, Jewish firstborn sons were presented to the temple by their mom and dad about 31 days. Unless that fell on a Sabbath, then it would be 30 days. And if it was, there was a few different twists and turns. That got difficult because If it falls on the Sabbath, if it does this, does that, does this. So what they decided is on the 40th day after the baby was born, they would go. So that's where we find it. 6 weeks after Jesus is born, Jesus is still 6 weeks old, or just about 6 weeks old. They go to the temple. And there they meet Simeon. Simeon is a righteous and devout man, given a prophecy. And he sings, when he sees Jesus, he sings a hymn. What we have in verses 29 through 32 is a song. Praises God, saying a number of different things. And that's what we want to look at. By repeating the song that Simeon sang, we learn what Christmas really means. In the first part, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. I don't know the tune, so I'll just read it. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. Christmas means that God keeps his word. As you have promised. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You said, I would not see death until I see him. And now I see him. And now I'm ready to go. Literally, what it says is, I can be released. Release your servant. Dismiss your servant. The phrase used here for release from prison. I am free to go. Or untying a boat. I'm ready to sail off. Or collapsing a tent. I'm breaking camp and hiking away. Or unyoking an animal. My work here is done. None of these are resignations. None of these are, oh well, I guess it's time to go because I've seen them. They are rejoicing. I don't have to stay here any longer. My job is done. I'm able to depart, and this is great. God kept his word. Kept his word to not only Simeon, which he did, fulfilled the word to Simeon in verse 26. It's been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he goes into the temple and there he sees the child and recognizes who the child is. Mary and Joseph were kept in Jerusalem for 40 days. We don't know why they stayed or where they stayed. They didn't stay in the stable with the animals for 40 days. That's unlikely. But they had to stay somewhere, and so they stayed for 40 days. We know that when the Magi from the east came, that they were in a house somewhere, maybe Jerusalem, probably Jerusalem. Probably Bethlehem, but they end up in Jerusalem. Who knows why? Who knows where? But there they are. 40 days later. He was moved that day to go into the temple courts. One of the interesting things I find about Simeon is we don't know when he was told. Maybe he was told years before. Maybe he was told long before Mary was born. Maybe he was told long before Quirinius was born. Maybe he was told as a young man, you are going to see the consolation, the comfort, the consoling action of God towards his people. We often think of consolation like a consolation prize. The term consolation is not inferior or, it's, we feel badly and so we're going to give you something as a parting gift. That's what a consolation prize is. It's not, you lost, but it'll be okay. This is, we feel badly that you're not getting the grand prize. Consolation is to be comforting. He was promised. We don't know when. All we know is that God said, you'll see him. God said, go today. And he went. And he saw the consolation, the comfort of his people Israel. But he also fulfilled God fulfilled his word to his people. There are at least 12 Old Testament references to the specifics of Jesus' birth. There are 17 Old Testament references specifically addressing Jesus' ministry. There are 23 Old Testament references specifically addressing Jesus' death and resurrection, which is 52. At least, we have one for every week. A promise every week that we could go to and say, here's just one more way God's fulfilled his word. One more way God's kept his word. One more way God's promised to keep us and protect us and provide for us. Simeon's song, as you have promised, reminds us that God answers prayer. God answers our heart's desire, and God keeps his word. We can spread Christmas cheer because we know that God keeps his word. Now, as we continue with verses 30 and 31 of Simeon's song, we see exactly what God has promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Christmas means that God covers his people. He keeps his word. He covers his people. My eyes have seen your salvation. What's interesting is that Simeon doesn't see the cross. Simeon doesn't see the empty tomb. Simeon doesn't see the crucifixion or the resurrection. Simeon's eyes see Jesus. That Jesus is our salvation. As gruesome as it is, I read a book called The Crucifixion. And what the crucifixion, the book, it's big. But one of the things that it says is, it's not the cross. I mean, it's the cross, but it's not the cross. Because plenty of people died on a cross in Jesus' day. It's not really the empty tomb, because there were grave robbers and there was all sorts of things that went on, that tombs were empty and people did stuff, and it's Jesus. That the cross could not hold him. The cross was the means of his crucifixion, but Jesus is the one that has transformed what we mean. When we say, oh, lay it at the cross. We all know what we mean by that. It's not just any cross. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. When we talk about the empty tomb, we're not talking about any cemetery anywhere. We're talking about Jesus. And that's what Simeon sees. Simeon sees his salvation in this child. Jesus was the perfect lamb. He knew, Simeon did, being righteous and devout, he knew what the law required. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the covering of blood on the Holy of Holies, on the altar, on the mercy seat, the wrath of God will never be satisfied. So he knew, in a way, what would be involved. And Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was the promised sacrifice. And his blood, in some way or another, Simeon understands, will cover us from the wrath of God. And that's why he says in verse 35, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary and Joseph." That he looks at them he understands, he says to Mary in particular, "A sword will pierce your own soul." You're not saved through giving birth to Jesus. You're saved through his death and the pain that will cause, this foreshadowing of some catastrophically sad and painful event. God saved his people. He brought freedom from the burdens of this life, brought entrance to the blessings of the life to come. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people." One of the things that Simeon didn't understand, but we now see in the light of the fullness of Scripture, is that Jesus' sacrifice, his means of salvation for us, was public in every way. He has prepared, even at this 40-day-old baby, he's prepared to publicly demonstrate his love for us through his giving of his son on the cross. And we can spread Christmas cheer by knowing that God saves his people. And as we conclude Simeon's song, we see exactly who his people are. Verse 32, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Christmas means that God cares for his people. And that includes us. "My eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now we know a little bit about Simeon, that he was righteous and devout, and in the temple, a good and godly Jewish man. This would be no place to talk about God's blessings to the Gentiles. And yet that's exactly what he does. He says, "This baby is a light, is a symbol of hope, of truth, of warmth, of direction for the Gentiles." He saw the revelation. The Gentiles in the darkness are given the truth. This child is a light for the Gentiles. Not the Jews. Not God's people. Those who will somehow become God's people. And so he cares for us. We who didn't grow up in the church, we who have been stumbling in the darkness, this child is a light for us. "My eyes have seen the salvation, glory to your people Israel." Glory in the temple, the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We talked about this on Christmas Eve. How the term glory is the presence, the unimaginable brightness and presence of Christ, of God. But now God is outside the Holy of Holies and can be seen by the people of God. And he cares for those who are his. We who have grown up in the church, we who have been given the truth as we were given formula, are protected, that we have God's presence among us. God cares for all of us by including us, by identifying with us, by saving us, by coming to be with us. We can spread Christmas cheer because we know that God cares for us, including us in his gift of salvation and identifying with us through his birth. Our sermon in a sentence is this: we keep Christmas all year when we claim all God has done. When we come back next Sunday morning, I think the wreaths will still be here, but a lot of the other greenery, the candles, the trees, the stuff up there, most of it's going to be gone. The candles in the windows will be gone, probably, if I'm ambitious enough to put it away. But Christmas won't be gone, because as Simeon says, Christmas changes everything. When we claim the things that Simeon declares here, that God keeps his promises, as is evident through the birth of Jesus. When God saves his people and covers them from the wrath of God through this baby Jesus, we keep Christmas. When we recognize that God cares for us, whether we have grown up devout or we are late in coming to him, that God cares for us. When we keep and claim these things, we keep Christmas throughout our life. We ought not to say, oh, you know what, just put it away. One of the things we do as a family is we keep a couple of figurines, Mary Joseph and baby Jesus, around on a shelf all year long, just to remind us that every day is Christmas, every day is Easter, every day is Pentecost, every day is a blessing, every day we can come and rejoice in him. That's what Simeon did. He kept Christmas because he laid claim to all the things that God had done. We keep Christmas when we see that God keeps his word, covers his people, cares for us. In the movie Elf, Buddy forces the world to choose what they're going to believe about Santa Claus, whether he's real or not. In this passage, as Simeon tells Mary, this baby forces the world to choose what they believe about God, to trust him to the point of bowing in conviction, or to reject him. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Those who reject him will fall, and those who humble themselves before him will be lifted up. As we conclude our Advent and Christmas series and messages and move on to other parts of the scripture, let me just leave you with this question. Do you claim what Simeon claimed those many years ago? That God keeps his word, that God covers his people and that God cares for us. We keep Christmas all year when we claim all God has done. Let's close in prayer.